Hello, everyone, and thank you for coming today to listen and to share the voices of our Palestinian friends. What would Halud, Hiba, Samah, Sabrine, Halima, Sukaina, Amal, Samira, Nadia, Tahani, Miriam, Suhailia, and Imajid want to tell you? They would want to invite you to come to the camp, but they may be shy to invite you to their small old homes, the homes filled with smells of coffee, lemons, and tomatoes, their homes with beautiful children who wish to play with their friends. They would tell you that their children do not have a place to play, like children should have. They would want to tell you about the conditions in the camp, how much they love their families, how they hate the camp. They would want to watch music videos, paint your nails, share their cigarette, hide their tears, and make you happy. They would want me to tell you what I saw this summer, and to be honest about their lives. I am certain that the people who remain in the camps would extend a great shukran, thanking you all. Someone is listening to them. They are no longer the voices without. Someone cares, and someone wants to hear about their lives, so thank you. During this past summer, I was given the incredible opportunity to live, laugh, sleep, eat, scream, teach, and learn with the cement walls of Burj Al Barajne. Although I was there as a teacher of English, music, and drama, I am sure that I was more of the student, learning so much each day about sorrow, patience, conditions, listening, hospitality, friendships, family, and hope. My lessons began the minute I arrived at the camp. I learned that when someone arrives to a refugee camp at 2 a.m. with 5 heavy bags, you send out your 2 strongest young men from the camp to help carry the bags on their backs through the tiny little alleyways. You should also present a gift for this foreigner, for example, a chocolate bar, in order to show her that she is welcomed and thanked for coming to live in the camp for a couple of months. However, it is me who should thank you for allowing me to come into your community, to speak with your sister, to cook with your mother, and to dance with your aunt, or to cry with your grandmother who has seen so much pain in her years. You are not so sure why this foreigner is here. You are accustomed to foreigners, but you never ask this question, but you will later on in the summer. You act as a tour guide, although you yourself would like to go on a vacation out of this place that your family exists within. It is the people in the camp that give life to these cement walls and dark, rat, cat-infested alleyways. It is easy to be lost within this labyrinth. Any notion of independence was erased. I depended on tiny, wide-eyed, and lovable children to lead me through the camp each day. I pretended I didn't need any help. However, unknowingly, I had a little child angel watching over me. How are you? How are you? How are you? I'm boldly greeted with the well-rehearsed English greeting. Bidi madrasa? I'm grasped by the child's little hand and floated to school. The same alleyways consisted of screaming, giggling children playing marbles, riding bikes, old men strolling past, scooters whizzing by, mothers escaping the heat of their homes, child in arms, men selling watches, loofah sponges, and bread. And it should be known that the alleyways are only this wide. The high cold walls are a graffiti artist exhibition filled with 54 years of expression and meaning, infested with bullet holes. The walls protecting the camp are constant reminders of what this camp has been through. The walls speak out about years of oppression and war. The exposed electrical wires are symbolic. Tucking them away would mean a loss of hope, let alone non-existent funds. Improving the conditions isn't a priority. Why bother renovating a place that is not yours and you really want to leave? The houses are so close together. Sahalia says that the families built their houses so close to support each other because they were scared of people coming in. Sahalia went on to explain, this way, the families in the camps could be really, really close to each other to protect one another in case anything bad happens. The camp really has a true sense of community. Everyone has a role to play. The grandparents, they pass on their stories so that the children know exactly what they've been through. they are frozen in the past. The parents provide what they can for their children. They are the fighters. The young adults who carry a history on their shoulders and a great realization that they may well live each and every day until the end in these camps where opportunities for work is minimal. They are the flyers. They are the ones who want to build a glider so they can glide right out of the camp. Then there are the children, the hope, the pride for the next generation. They are to be educated for a brighter future. They are the ones who may live upon her grass, smell her flowers, and breathe her air. She is Palestine, inshallah. Within this site community are the families, usually not less than 6 kids. Parents and grandparents share a small house in the camp. Sons get married and build layers on the existing houses where his family will live, making the skyline a very interesting sight. On the top of the house is where families escape the scorching heat. When the electricity is cut through the day or night, everyone would end up on the roofs, filling the darkness with songs, talk, and tea. All of the children in my family slept in one room with 2 bunk beds. Pictures of Backstreet Boys, Shakira, and Westlife, like all teenagers, were plastered on the walls. This is where wrestling matches, hair pulling, soccer matches, teeth biting, and where dreams of places beyond the camp happen. The father in the family plays continually with his children. Hamoudi, the youngest, a spoiled boy in the family, was constantly quizzed about his knowledge on the World Cup and Palestine. A patient man, supporting his family without a job, the father in my family had not worked for 9 months. Not by choice. 90% of the men in the camp are out of work. Palestinians are not the first in line to be employed in Lebanon, and the jobs in the camp are limited. He is a builder, you know. He showed me a building he had constructed in Beirut. He said, "See, I know something. I know how to build something." The family car trips were a delight. No radio, no bumper, no speed gauge, no windows. However, the lack of music wasn't a problem. They just sang songs instead. I really loved waking up in the mornings to find that a skirt had been strategically removed from my closet. Anyhow, it looked a lot better on the youngest sister, Sabrine. One day I overheard Sama, the eldest sister in the family, talking about her older sister to her friend. Sama explained, "You have an older sister? You never told me about that." "Habla, it's you I'm talking about. But for us, you are our sister." There is a big window on one side of my room. As I woke up from a much-needed nap, I was hit with blowing kisses from the 10-year-old brother in the family. This would continue every day I was lucky. The pride, the love, the joy of each family were the children, who came to my classes each day to be entertained and learn English. I was warned that apparently my name, Stella, is what the children call their dogs in the camp. So, in effect, I had prepared a new name for myself. My name, to my 9-year-olds, at the Women's Humanitarian Organization, would be Stelle, just Stelle. No blank stares and no barking. "Hi, hello everyone, my name is Stelle." Loud bark from the back of the class, to be continued with continuous barking and laughing for about the next 10 minutes. Little did I know that my name Stella was written in Arabic behind me, showing the kids that my real name was Stella, what they called their dogs. The giggles and dog marks did subside. I taught them Stella Ella Ola, and suddenly my name was cool. Upon returning from a sick day due to sunstroke, I was greeted with a standing ovation. I think they kind of started to like me. It was also during this time that I realized how wonderful people are in the camp. I had visits with gifts of Pepsi and cookies to speed my recovery. The children loved to draw. Anytime they had crayons, markers, or paper, they would expertly draw the flag of Palestine. Atini Akhtar, the red, the green, the black markers, they always ran out the fastest. These were the colors of their flag. It was obvious that the children identified themselves with the homeland. The camp is a temporary place. There is somewhere better, somewhere with trees, flowers, birds chirping, high swings and shiny slides, This was expressed through their drawings, which you'll have a chance to see later. Three-legged chairs, accent tables, chalk in the powder form, and abundant energy are the realities of learning in Bourges-el-Barajne. The children are oblivious to the obstacles of learning here. Each morning, with tremendous punctuality, wide smiles, sparkling eyes, and a bag of chips for breakfast, my students are ready to absorb the day's lesson. I go on to write in my journal. The room explodes with giggles. Playing areas limited by garbage and lack of space explain the explosion of bottled up energy. Their creativity yearns expression and acknowledgement. I'm sure my students are learning. I am sure when I hear whispers of last week's lesson on transportation lingering in the alleys, the dirty alley that is their playground. A classroom with no chairs or desks or windows was the educational atmosphere for the 11-year-olds. Writing and circling word searches on their laps, the children make do with what they have. They want to learn under these conditions. It seems impossible. The fan stops. The lights are out. The heat augments, quickly stealing the attention span from the students. The photocopies needed for this lesson and next aren't possible anymore. Didn't you know everything runs with electricity? But laugh, and play the 30th game of Stella Ella Ola one more time, sing Hokey Pokey, or maybe throw myself on the ground. Playing dead worked wonders. Finally, the day is over. Let's see, I have fallen asleep on 8-year-old Abid's shoulder while doing a jigsaw puzzle, sang the B-flat scale about 10 times, watched the children create animals out of Play-Doh, cut and pasted more Palestinian flags than you could ever imagine. Okay, time for a nap. My house. Sarah has invited me to her house. She wants me to meet all of her family and to drink ahwe, coffee, with her sister, Iman. It would be my pleasure, Sarah. Tomorrow is my house, promise, exclaims Nancy. Nancy, she has faithfully greeted me each day at the entrance of Shatila to carry my bags and offer me the other stick of her popsicle. Beyond the classroom, relationships with the Palestinians bloomed into wonderful friendships. Roads where I often felt lost began to be familiar. Destinations recognizable by a particular child's laugh, by a warm smile of the same shopkeeper sitting upon his step, or the smell of fresh dough crackling in the closest Menayish enterprise. The barred windows and heavy doors are suddenly swinging open, where coffee, tea, and conversation are waiting. A new day erupts. Familiar now are the rhythms of the camp, the cries of the neighbor's baby, the daily electricity failures, the prayer calls, all represent the comforts in the camp. I have a letter to share with you dated July the 23rd, written by a 15-year-old young woman from Bourges-el-Barajne. This is a message for all of you. I can surely tell most of you do not have an idea about the life of Palestinians that are living in the camps. So, if I told you the life around here is awful, would you believe me? Or would you just say I'm playing with the words to make you feel sorrow? If I told you that camps are not good places to raise children who don't enjoy their rights, would you believe me, or would you just make fun of me? And if I really sent you this letter, would you read it, think about it, and keep it, or would you just throw it away? I don't know how you will react to this letter, and I have no idea if you will appreciate it, but I hope so. Yours faithfully, Suhalia Nassar. The Palestinians ask you to think about them, to not forget the 350,000 of them who have been waiting in Lebanon for 54 years. They have given me so much life. Now I will give them my voice. The microcosms that are Bourges-el-Barajne and Shatila are special places. Isolated, oppressed, and distanced from their homeland, my brothers, sisters, uncles, and aunts continue to live in hope. They laugh, they cry, they yell, they love. They are humans like me and you, but humans who fail to share the basic human rights. Often questioning my role in the camp, I think I now have an answer. Sitting, eating watermelon and cheese, tastes great, with my family at the end of the day, there is a realization. I was there to share the lives, the past, the present of the Palestinian people. I listened, and now I share the voice of my Palestinian friends with all of you. Thanks.